AM, September 27th, 2023. I call this regular meeting of the Northfield Public Service Commission to order. I'm Randy Christman, the Chair of the Commission, joined by Commissioner Sherry Hoffman-Huffer and Julie Zawichak. Will you please join me and stand in the pledge? I do not have any written comment.
I do not have any opening comments, I don't believe. Commissioner Hoffman-Huffer?
No, I do not.
Commissioner Kochet?
My only opening comment will be to say that I have to admit that I was wrong. I was not in favor of the requirement that was passed in the legislature to say the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of meetings. And I find as we stand up to do it that I really like it and think that it's a good practice. So truth comes hard at this age, but I was wrong. So tell Sheriff Heiner that he had a good idea.
The tricky part is always remembering after years of a routine.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So we will move into the meeting then, and we have 12 items on consent. I am going to request that SHH number 3 be moved to regular agenda. I just want to discuss it a little bit. Are there any other changes to the consent agenda removal? Seeing none, that leaves 11 items on consent, plus the minutes for September 6th and the special meeting on September 14th. And I move approval.
Second. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just have one question. It's on one of yours, Randy. Read a lot about what the AML does, and that's great. It's on RC5, and I am just wondering if they have identified approximately how many sinkholes will be filled.
I don't know, but we can pull that one off and move it to the regular agenda.
No, I was just curious on some of them, so maybe I can just...
I know they have. I don't have the number.
Okay.
No. Are we in this year or kind of...
Well, the program in general.
No, in this project.
In that project.
In that project. They've identified.
And I know they keep records of that, but I...
I was just curious. I think they've done a great job. I was just curious. No other questions.
So you're okay just leaving on and approving it, but just follow up with AML, and I know they have.
Yep. Sounds great.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and I don't have anything on the regular agenda, so I'll turn it over to the commission.
Okay. With moving that one from consent to regular, that will be the last one I'll report on.
Okay.
So I'll start with my first one. I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Transmission Facility Cost Recovery Rates, case number PU23-268.
Second.
Thank you. On July 14th, MDU filed a change to its transmission cost adjustment rates to reflect an updated electric transmission revenues and costs. Their initial reporting revenue requirement was $2,193,375. On the 25th, of August, MDU filed an updated TCA rate after staff noticed that the general and administrative expenses in their base rates were also charging customers. And so felt that it was like a double dip. And MDU recognized that and filed that adjustment. So So thank you, staff, for being very informative on that. So MDU's proposed rates to be effective for bills rendered on or after November 1st, 2023 include the costs of existing projects and then one new transmission project, which is the replacement of a 115 kV Tioga substation. Updated electric transmission expenses with offsetting revenues in a true-up amount from the current rate. Therefore, looking at this transmission cost adjustment, the decrease for residential customers using 800 kilowatts per month will be $5.09 per month or $61.08 annually. So after a thorough review and the adjustment that was filed, the proposed rates adjustments comply with MDU's tariff, and the incurred costs for new and modified electric transmission facilities are reasonable and prudent, and they are eligible for recovery through the transmission cost adjustment.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
If I might, I have a couple of questions. Sherry, maybe you can answer them. How much of this is this significant decrease in this rider? How much of this is related to the applied digital or the customer?
In the memo on September 7th, prepared by Adam, the SPP, the addition of the rate 45 customer caused a reduction of approximately $5.4 million. In 2023, revenue requirements, and then,
And so are we to expect this every year to be like this, or how does this? I guess this is kind of one of those complicated ones. I personally would have liked to informal on this with the company to talk through it a little bit more, but I didn't realize it until too late, until it was already on the agenda to ask for that, but. Go ahead, Randy.
Well, not to answer that question, but I think there was that $5.4 million on the RTO savings. But then, in the meantime, they also had over-collected. And so I believe there's another about $2.25 million of over-recovery that's getting reimbursed, and that won't be ongoing.
The true-up and carrying costs, yes.
Yeah, so...
Yep.
So altogether, I think like two-thirds of this or three-quarters of it is attributable to that customer. That's how I had it in my mind.
Right. Adam, do you want to explain any further on that?
No, that is correct.
And so do we, Adam or Sherry, as we move forward with increase investments in the MISO system, how do we think that that's going to carry out with this? Will those costs be offset too by this customer?
Are you asking whether future costs will?
Well, just as the rates go up, as we charge more, you know, as the MISO charges become higher to cover the increased transmission build out.
And the increased maybe demand that this customer might have.
Well, not let's not talk about the demand for now. I'm just talking. Well, I guess the demand would have an effect, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and we are studying that. MDU is as part of the last order. The commission ordered them to study that pricing effects on their customers.
Okay. Yeah, the pricing effects in terms of the.
The cost I paid per kilowatt.
The congestion going down, yeah. But what about just the, because they're a high-use customer and the new transmission projects are going to be paid for on a per kilowatt basis charge, right?
Right.
So will this customer help offset some of those costs too.
Correct.
Especially as they use more.
So MDU has a certain portfolio of transmission and investments, and Apply Digital is paying for those investments that would have otherwise have been picked up by other ratepayers. So that's the benefit that you see there.
It sure has appeared to me this is going to be like several dollar a month for that average residential we often talk about ongoing as long as this is there. And they're talking about an expansion, which will save even more. Now, are rates going to keep going up because of all the build-out? Yeah, but not as much as they would be if it wasn't for this. Mm-hmm. The thing that I wanted to bring up on this case was, when a customer pops in there, and it's this unique thing with this data center sitting down there, and it worked out that the transmission and everything, well, what wasn't available, they're paying for, but for the most part, it's just sort of there. And so there's very little additional expense involved in putting them on. And all of MDU's electric customers are benefiting significantly. But be aware, just like not so long ago in history, we had never heard of Bitcoin or this kind of data processing centers going up. This can disappear, or just like they built it in a matter of months, they could move it somewhere else in a matter of months, and MDU will be right back in here with just as big of an increase that won't be here so pleasant.
Yeah, that's a really good point, and I think it gets to the one sort of common denominator that we have to keep our eyes on with these kinds of projects is that they assured that they're interruptible and that we aren't increasing our capacity requirements that all customers would pay in order to meet their needs. That would be a very dangerous situation to get into for our customers. I do want to say one more, and Chair, you mentioned this, but I want to double down on the kudos to staff Adam for finding that that admin line item that had been missing. That was almost a third of the balance due, that amount of money. So that was a sizable absence from the calculations that our staff pretty much single-handedly caught and saved customers in North Dakota almost $1 million. So good job, Adam. Let's remember this when we talk to the legislature next time about staffing.
That's a really good point.
Yeah. It's true. Like if our staff are too rushed because they don't have the time to dig into this stuff, or we aren't able to attract the staff with the skills and the education to be able to understand this stuff, we don't find those sorts of things. This is, high-level professional work that's being done, and it has to be maintained at that level. So good job, Adam. Thank
you. And I just, not to continue this, but these cases are rare, they're unique, and we've all touched on some of the consequences, but also benefits. And Adam and I have talked about this one quite a bit as far as the monitoring of it and asking them a lot of questions. So I know he's gone above and beyond on this case. So thank you, Adam. I appreciate your extra work on this.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. Three more to go, so I look forward to the discussion. I move the commission suspend the rates and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Northern States Power Company franchise fee, City of Fargo Electric Rates, case number PU23296.
Second.
On August 30th, 2023, Northern States Power Company filed an application for revisions to its state to its city fee rider to incorporate the changes approved by the city of Fargo, providing for a franchise fee for a non-large user customer of electricity from 2% to 4% of gross revenues. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and the reasons why they are requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by November 10th, 2023. If deemed appropriate, the commission can deem the matter without a formal hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I do. Sorry, but let's pile on Sherry today.
I'm ready.
You may recall back this summer sometime when kind of news came out, or at least I became aware of Fargo's move to significantly raise their franchise fee. Mm-hmm. I made some comments here about it. And from the news reporting, now we obviously haven't had a hearing, we don't have this evidence, but from the news reporting, like so many places, there's needs there, and the decision makers in Fargo have determined a need for growth in their budget. And like everyone in government agencies these days, nobody likes to be raising taxes, especially property taxes. And they've been cited as an example in the initiative measure to eliminate property taxes. And actually, most of their increase, I believe it's the majority of it, certainly a significant amount, is this franchise fee, not even their property tax. But this is being done based on news stories. Really for solving their overall budget. It's not for the costs. It's not like starting a tree cutting program to take care of these rights of way or anything for the utility. With that in mind, when I made those comments, I wasn't anticipating us doing anything, because it's always been my understanding that our action on franchise fees is just to, I don't know exactly the terms, but to acknowledge that a community has raised it, and so we change the tariff to match it. This order gets into whether the proposed changes are reasonable. And frankly, I would, if we have a hearing, and I expect someone will request one, because people are pretty wound up and fireable. I don't know what our basis would be to determine the reasonableness of this hike. And I would be open in a hearing to being convinced otherwise, but right now, I don't think it's reasonable to do this through a franchise fee, but I think it is what the law allows. Their city, they can impose a franchise fee, and I think it's our responsibility to change the tariff if they do, but I believe they are the ones who determine the reasonableness of it, not us. And by the way, this isn't just on your item, because mm-hmm. I have the exact same concerns on JF1.
So I did a little research and consulted with attorney Brian Johnson in, you know, exploring this. You know, we're like a pass-through, really. I mean, just update the tariff. We have nothing in our century code. In fact, we couldn't find anything in our century code exploring this. So it's just an opportunity. Maybe when I said, you know, why are we giving a notice of hearing? It's just for the customers to come forward and express another avenue if they so want. I agree with you, Commissioner Crispin. I just think what we are looking at is just updating the tariff, which they are required to do. And there's not a lot of, we can't do a lot about it except, you know, listen to the customers. So and I hear your point.
Yeah. Two things, though. I feel like, we are misleading people then to, you can have a hearing, but we've already made up our minds. And also, the fact that we mention in here that we're going to consider whether the rates are reasonable. And so if 1,000 people showed up and convinced us they're unreasonable, but we've already determined that it's just a pass-through, we can't do anything about it, why did we have a hearing and tell them that we are going to consider whether it is unreasonable? I just think we need to move forward and approve the tariff change, and that's it. I think that is our only role in this.
So, thank you, Randy and Sherry. This is a great discussion, and I'm glad that we're having it, because it does shed a light on both the what we can and cannot do, and the issue as a whole, which is, you know, really important, as you've already stated. The use of utility charges to help fund city operations needs to be considered and thought through. If that's what's happening here. So I think that that's, you know, an important part of this discussion. But as it relates to what you're pointing out, Randy, I quite honestly hadn't thought that far into somebody actually requesting a hearing and what would that hearing be about. So, and that's for this one or the gas one. So we've got another one further in the agenda that's very similar. But in my chat with Jack, the one area that we do have for all tariff changes is considering whether there's any increase that this tariff change would cause or any cost shifting to all customers as a whole. And so maybe that's really irrelevant here, but Jack or Brian, do you want to speak to that angle?
You know, a city has the right to franchise. They also have the right to charge a fee for that. It is correct that it is kind of, we do have to approve the tariff change, but as far as the rest of it, we don't really have a lot to do. So I'm sorry, what was your...
So my question basically is, A, either we need to do what Randy is suggesting and change this to an approval of their tariff change. Or we need to change the questions, is what I'm thinking.
Sure.
Are there different questions we should be asking for a hearing if we were to go this route?
Yeah, if the tariff change only affects Fargo customers that have a voice in their elected officials in Fargo's who are the ones setting these franchise fees, that is a very important thing. If a tariff change like that does impact customers outside of that area, I would think that would be something that should be explored or could be explored by the commission if they wanted to.
But this doesn't. This is just for Fargo customers.
As far as I know, it does not.
This one applies only to Fargo customers, but there's other franchise fees for the other municipalities within NSP system. So this would be appropriately just applied to the Fargo customers. To give a little bit more background, so we've handled these in a couple of different methods in the past. This issuing a notice of opportunity for hearing is one, because depending on the specific situation with these, we could potentially get into them setting a rate that's not just and reasonable. So if it was a different circumstance where Fargo simply said, you need to pay us $2 million per year, then NSP would come up with what that rate would be to customers, because that, within the law, they are permitted to collect that, and it would be on them to come up with the method in which they do that. So they could come up with this percentage, they could come up with some other way to do that, and we could find that that's not just and reasonable.
Like, for example, they didn't apply this to the non-large users.
Correct. Which, actually, if you look into the detail of some of their franchise fees, I believe Fargo and one of the other municipalities, they have essentially a discount of the franchise fee for very large users.
Mm-hmm.
It may just be on the gas side. I'm forgetting the exact specifics on it off the top of my head, but they do have where they get into some of those nuances. And I know historically that's been some of our concern and kind of the point of, I think, what you were trying to make, where they could theoretically tweak this in such a way that they could put a charge on one class of customer and a credit to another class mm-hmm. of customer. I mean, they're not, certainly not proposing to do that here, but they could almost do their own rate making in that way.
If I may, just to maybe flesh this out a little bit, I understand the confusion which is resulting in this discussion because we are the entity that regulates rates, and these, in a way, is rates. Obviously, a city has the ability to do franchise, too, and has the authority to do that. And kind of we've had this discussion the last couple of years about constitution and also statutory authority to do franchises. And this has actually been discussed by the courts in the past. This has been litigated, in fact. I'll say that it hasn't been. It was a long time ago, mm-hmm. and this was discussed to a degree, a few different times in a few different ways. And in those situations, there was a distinction between the franchise, which is a contract with the city, and utility rates. And so that distinction is what has led the commission precedents to allow these franchise fees to go through unimpeded by the commission in and of itself.
Okay, but can you talk about that distinction a little bit more, Jack?
Sure. So obviously we go through the rate regulation process, all just a reasonable rate for, you know, prudently invested resources for the service of our customers. The franchise is different from the standpoint that it's a direct contract with the city to use the right-of-ways, to provide service to the area and alleyways and so forth. So essentially to provide service at that location, but in a different aspect. And so one is the rates provided as a franchise monopoly, and the other one is a franchise fee that is a contract to provide service and use the right-of-ways and so forth of the city. And so there's a distinction between the rates and what that contract value is with the city.
Sure. Okay, so I guess back to my question is, are there different questions that we could be or should be, if we have a hearing, should we be asking different questions? Whether the proposed rate changes are reasonable and whether the rate changes should be approved. Those are the two questions.
Commissioner Crispin stopped by my office right before this meeting and, you know, after having a brief discussion. And quite honestly, the purpose of the notice of opportunity, after staff had reviewed and determined that no other parties had been impacted, it doesn't really make a lot of sense. If because that's part of the evaluation of whether to provide a notice of opportunity or to actually just let it go through the narrow automatic tariff process that's approved within 30 days. And that's usually the evaluation we use in determining whether to issue a notice of opportunity. Mm-hmm. So if staff had taken a look at this, and the staff is right that in the past this has been treated both ways, and I can't speak to whether that's as a result of the tariff rate or if there have been multiple tariff revisions within the same item that allow us to just review the entirety of it holistically. But given that no parties have been probably specifically pointed out by staff as impacted by this, I mean, by the change in rates, not the change in franchise fees, it seems as though there would be no issue to hear.
Okay. And when you say between the change in franchise fees being distinct from the change in rates, like, they're going to pay more, but their actual rate design is different.
That's correct.
Just to add a little bit more, so the other way that we've dealt with these in the past is staff has drafted a memo just kind of summarizing what's been filed, what's before us, and there's a provision within the law that says if the commission doesn't suspend the rate within 30 days as it takes effect, on very few instances we've chosen that option rather than having a proceeding, and these are some really good examples of when we've done that in the past. And that option is always before us. If your preference would be to do that, you could certainly pull these two agenda items and staff could simply draft a memo so that it's clear for the record that we didn't just run out the clock and not take any action. that we actually did review these and felt the more prudent course of action was to allow the rates to take effect.
Well,
I don't like that, but
yeah. I mean, when I explored it with Brian, I mean, we looked at the past and how they were handled before, you know, that's how this came up.
I guess where I'm at, I think that, first of all, I like this discussion, and aside from calling a meeting, this is the perfect time to do it. So this was very appropriate, so I don't think there's anything wrong with having brought forward this order or the one afterwards to talk about it like this. Having had the discussion now and considering more what kind of a miscommunication maybe we're suggesting to customers, I probably feel more comfortable pulling this and the one on the gas and having it on the next agenda or later today or what, I don't know what the timeline is, to just approve the rates. I don't think we should let them just go into effect.
Put it on just a motion and then like a consent order that it's
just, yeah, an order approving it would be what it would be, wouldn't it?
Jack, can we approve by motion without a notice period for a rate change? That's my only concern.
And that's
the only other option is to do the staff rate, other than we have to do a notice.
That's my interpretation, but I think Jack.
Right. And I would say like a little more time to reflect on that, because quite honestly, that'd be a pretty big departure for just if we are affirmatively making a decision without a notice opportunity. It still would probably be appropriate, and I'm thinking, you know, conceptually here, but I'd like to review the statute to make sure that's correct, because that would be something that we have not done in relation to a tariff change in the past.
Okay.
It's just not been suspended or a notice has been issued.
Either this or the staff just approves it.
Well, we don't approve it per se. We draft a memo and we, yes,
right.
That's the better. We allow it to take effect per statute.
Those are the two options.
Those have been the options. I don't want to say that we couldn't approve it as well, but I just like to take a second to take a look back at the statutes since it would be something new.
What are the timing issues on this? When does their tariff change take effect?
I think as soon as possible. I mean, upon approval, I think is when they start collecting it. That's usually how it goes. You know, they don't make a filing before us until the ordinance is approved by the municipality. So, and most of the time, I mean, it's different for every municipality, but most of the time it's effective immediately or as soon as you can, something to that effect. And if this helps make you think about it slightly different, this is the first of we don't know how many. I've been made aware that West Fargo is considering something very similar. And generally in NSP system, when we've seen franchise fee increases, it kind of runs like a zipper up the line. One municipality hears about it and it goes all the way.
I'm sure this is going to be a
2%
increase
across the board.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any other discussion? So I am okay with that acknowledgement thing. I'm okay with having a special meeting and acknowledging Fargo's franchise fee change and changing the tariff. In a meeting form, we'll vote on it. You could have a special meeting to move on the timing of it. But like I said, I'm not comfortable with this opportunity for a hearing to discuss the reason.
I agree with you, Randy, but unless there was other things we could consider in a hearing and tailor those questions more directly to that, then I think we should go with the more common approach of the staff acknowledging it, saying you reviewed it and acknowledge it, and then move forward. But for each and every one of these, I want to make sure that they're brought at least to this level so there's some public attention given to these requests for franchise. case fee increases from this body, not just at the local level.
Sure.
And I just want to be clear. So if we found one that staff thought would be unreasonable, then we would notice it and do our questions as far as the notice of opportunity.
Unreasonable. I think that's what we're saying. We don't really cover if the rate, if it impacts the rate design, and the rate design that they're proposing has impacts on customers that we don't think is maybe fair. Then I think that, and that might be what you're saying.
Right. Yep.
So I mean, if that's the direction to staff, I mean, we can talk to Jack to see if there is an order or a motion method to approve this legally.
I think just go that. I don't want to do a order without a notice. Like, I don't want to go down that path.
Okay.
I think that's bad.
So if the direction to staff is we will do memos on these to the commission, and our memos would either say this is appropriate and we should allow it to take effect, or we would call out there's a problem here and we should, and we likely would do more than a memo and actually bring before you a notice of opportunity for hearing, or a notice of hearing, quite honestly, if we saw something problematic. So if that's the...
Yeah, you just summarized what I was trying to say. So,
how does that type of an approach find its way to our agenda?
It would not. So that methodology would not find its way onto your agenda. And maybe Jack can correct me if I'm wrong here, but you could always, you know, as part of your opening discussion, you could choose to say, we received these cases or this case on a franchise fee change. Staff acknowledge it in a memo and summarized. You know, you could, you're always free to talk about it.
Or we could have an informal.
Could.
Good. We have in the past.
Yeah. That might be a way to do it, kind of informal, even if it's just 15, 20 minutes. The company could participate virtually if they need to. Mm-hmm. But just to, so we understand what's happening at the local level and that there's some, you know, public scrutiny provided by us on the redesign of the tariff, et cetera.
So you want an informal for each of those, or?
I think it would be a good idea. I mean, there's not going to be
no, I mean, there
might be five.
That's my guess.
Yeah.
There's probably five. Well,
I think it will be more than five. Remember, you know, cities communicate across utility boundaries.
Right. Well, I mean, we can always change it. If 4%
is good in Fargo.
So, as I'm thinking through the informal idea, so if we're issuing a memo and allowing it to happen within 30 days, that's a pretty short time schedule to get an informal on the calendar before it's already taken effect.
Would you issue a memo immediately? I mean, we heard about this quite a while ago.
We heard about it in the news quite a while ago. The filing just came in here late
August 30th.
Fast we can do. Schedules are another question mark. Nothing prevents us from.
Let's just. It doesn't have to be, you know, 100% like black and white. It's this or no way. Let's have a little flexibility, but well, let's let that be our goal to have a public discussion to be informal on it. And maybe there'll be a few cities that can lump together. It is like a
on occasion. Is that the desire for the Fargo one?
It's
would you?
Desire. No.
You have no desire for an informal on these?
Not on the Fargo.
I'm hearing not the informal on this one. Move forward, get the memo done.
Okay. And maybe as a further point to help put a little bit more black and whiteness to this idea. So when staff drafts memos on these, we will speak to each of you individually. And if anybody says during those discussions that they would like an informal, we will schedule informal.
Okay.
I like that.
Yeah. All right.
Everybody happy, including Jack?
It may not be informal, but it may be something more like an information exchange. There will be an ability to discuss it for sure. Perfect. If you would like to.
Talk.
We still
don't have a chat. Chat.
That's what I
would think. Holy moly.
So yeah, the consensus is to withdraw this?
I think that's... Is that what we...
So with a motion in a second, I will withdraw my motion.
And I withdraw my second. If I had to.
I believe it to withdraw it, it has to be unanimous.
Randy. Oh, and I'm good with that, too.
Thank you.
All right, moving right along. SH3.
What else you have up your sleeve, Sherry?
I move a go home for the day. So, my motion. I move the commission suspend the tariff and rates, reduce the application fee to $10,000, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing for Northern States Power Company service, reconnection, charge, and manual meter reading, rates, tariff and rates, case number PU23307. Second. Thank you, Julie. On September 15th, Northern States Power Company, NSP, filed an application to change its tariff to modify the service reconnection charge and the manual reading rider contained in its electric book to reflect the cost of remote reconnection and remote meter reading as it relates to its advanced meter reading infrastructure. This notice of opportunity, persons who are desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for the hearing must be received by November 10th, 2023. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a formal hearing. I know I have a lot of questions on this application. So I don't know if a formal hearing will be requested, but I know I'll be definitely looking at an informal on this to bring the company in pertaining to their application and request. So I'll just
sounds good.
End it there.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. The last one, which was moved from consent to the regular regarding a damage prevention case. I move the commission close the Public Service Commission Northern States Power Company Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number DM23-153. Second. Thank you. So on some of these dates, really pay attention to. I think we'll be very much telling in this story. So on April 10th, 2023, a one-call complaint was received from MDU alleging that Northern States Power Excel violated a one-call law. The incident actually occurred on July 28th, 2022. MDU was conducting the excavation digging to tie into a gas line when they struck an unmarked XL electric line in Minot, North Dakota. So the incident occurred back in July 2022. We received the report on April 10th, 2023. On the 14th of April, staff forwarded the one-call complaint to XL requesting a response by May 1st. They did comply and provided a response, and in the response, XL alleged that MDU failed to accurately describe the area of excavation and that the XL line that was struck was located outside the area. Follow-up, just 8 days later, XL, on May 9th, filed a letter advising staff that XL and MDU reached an agreement to resolve XL's property damage claim. On the 15th, staff confirmed with MDU, and MDU stated that the issue had been settled with XL and declined to continue to proceed with the complaint. After talking with staff about this case, with MDU withdrawing their complaint and no longer having their witness, it becomes very difficult for staff to bring forward a formal complaint. We talked extensively, and Conrad, I want to thank you for your work on this. I'm trying to reach out to MDU and XL, but it's a private company doing private business, and to get that information is very difficult and time-consuming. And at that point, I agreed with staff to close this case. So I will now open it up for discussion.
Well, with that, you have just done a very good job of covering one of the two points that I wanted to have stated publicly, not just in a memo, in a consent item that no one notices. You mentioned this being dismissed because of the feeling that we do not have enough evidence to move forward. And to me, that's much different than if we were dismissing it just because the complainant dropped their complaint. In my mind, and I would stand to be corrected, once we receive a complaint, or I think we can even go forward with our own complaints if we want to, them, in this case, MDU dropping it doesn't end our case, but lack of evidence does. Yeah. So that's an important point. The other one that I wanted to mention, too, is this. And this is kind of a unique case because it involves two of our jurisdictional regulated utilities. Two of the very power players who 25 or 30 years ago, whenever it was, were down in the legislature begging for this mandate on every individual, on every little, you know, lawn sprinkler installation person that does it part-time, a few hours a week, on everybody. And now when they go head-to-head, and I don't know who's at fault here, I don't know if in the end MDU dug outside of where they had called in the marking for, or if NSP didn't mark the right spot. I don't know, but something happened, and that means one of the two is in the wrong. And because they're in the same organization, the same lobby, everything just gets dropped. I find that very upsetting because these are the very people who want this program, who want penalties for violating it in place so badly, but when it's one of them, it's just okay. They refuse to provide us the evidence that we would need to do our responsibility. I don't object to the motion.
No, I mean, what you brought forward was nothing that new that we didn't discuss within the damage prevention portfolio as far as some of this. And if you look at the time, I tried to allude to it, is the incident occurred on July 28th, 2022. We were notified on April 10th, and all of a sudden, maybe this gets accelerated, saying a complaint was filed, that we are going to investigate it. So someone is doing maybe some strong-arming there. And is that the best, using that program as a platform is concerning, too. So.
Well, I think you've both made good points, and the question that comes to my mind is, did one of the companies, was there a settlement? Did they pay money to each other to fix the damages, or?
We don't know that.
Regulate both of them, so that is information we can't get.
Yeah.
Maybe not through here, but that's, I guess.
Yeah, we don't know it, and that information didn't come to us, and that is a big driver behind a lot of one-call complaints a lot of times is they want their damages covered, and kind of maybe one of the downfalls of why people withdraw complaints is because they do come to a settlement on the damages, and then nobody has a problem anymore. But we don't have that information.
Okay. We asked, but it wasn't provided. So...
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Okay. A few announcements I'd like to make.
So, Commissioner Crisman, did you assume that we were pulling this one too? My one item. Was it?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we covered that.
Well, I don't know if you need to officially withdraw it, but I would
need
to officially withdraw this item from the agenda. JF1.
Okay. So now, just a couple announcements. We have an informal hearing this afternoon with Ottertail. That's at 1:30. On their advanced metering distribution technology and the tariffs. On October 9th, that's a Monday at 9 a.m., we are meeting with the North Dakota Transmission Authority for an update. And then following that, we're going to get an update from SPP as we do some intervals every few months or half a year. And then in the afternoon, the same thing with the MISO RTO. And beyond that, on October 10th, which is a Tuesday at 10:30, we're going to have a formal hearing on pipeline safety emerging threats. And we have two rulemakings there. They're PU 23-289 and 264. And our next regular commission meeting is October 11th.
I do, Randy. Just, I want to thank staff for being so prompt on getting me the information on that sinkhole question I had on the project. And it looks like there's one in Beulah, 15 in Zap, and 9 in New Salem that they will be filling. So thank you, staff, Zanna, for listening and getting me that information.
Okay, with that, we will move to a recess for questions from the...